patentees bigger sticks to go and beat each other up with is contributing to a patents arms race and is not necessarily the best way forward. And in consultation with other government departments, user groups, the general public, the patent profession, the Lord Chancellor's department, we've had all of these discussions. And at the moment, we don't think that intervening with criminal sanctions is necessarily the way to go.
So, no joy there then, and no arms race. For the moment, you can like it, you can lump it, or...
You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, let on to the affirmative.
To the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the sea.
Next week we'll hear about the lengths an inventor goes to get people to listen, and how deep into debt they'll go to get their idea right, and at what point they actually give up. Back to the Drawing Board was presented by Matthew Harvey and produced by Fergus Colville.
The digital station for comedy, drama, and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, the omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra, with Clive busy working for Matt but worrying about time running out, and Erin drawing closer to her friends at the stables.
Got it, Clive?
Yeah, no sweat.
Almost there.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah, I can manage. Oh, blimey, they don't halfway a ton of these old rags.
You want to get down to the gym more often, mate?
This will do for me.
Not used to this kind of work, then?
Oh, not for a while, anyway.
Where come? What sort of jobs are you used to working on?
Oh, well, you know, just small stuff, bit of plumbing, home renovations.
Oh, odd job, man, eh?
Well, I'm used to working on my own, but then, you know, what with things the way they are, well, nobody's spending.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Oh, well, I had to look for something else.
You know, you was lucky that I needed an extra pair of hands on this job, mate. I know so many fellas what have been laid off.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, good, decent blokes and all. You know, just trying to provide for their family.
Yeah, I know.
And nothing's getting any cheaper.
It ain't surprising folk turn to other ways of making ends meet.
Hey, you're right there.
Do you... Do you get much stealing?
Hey?
I mean, you know, what with all the crews out there nicking off building sites.
Well, we've had a few. I mean, that's why all this stuff gets kept downstairs now. Well, the gaffer must have told you. Only building rubble and junk in the skip. Anything what's getting sold on for scrap or reclamation, that stays locked up in the house.
Oh, got you. Yeah.
Gets taken away pretty sharpish too.
Oh, that right?
Oh, are you? It'll all be gone by the end of the week.
What?
Well, the faster it goes, less chance of it getting nicked.
But that soon? I mean, you think we'll have finished gutting this place by then?
Well, I reckon so. Oh, I'm sorry, mate. I mean, how long did you think you'd be here?
Oh, I weren't sure.
Hey, they don't stand no slacking round here.
No?
Speaking of which, now you got your breath back, let's get this radiator downstairs. Come on. Oh.
Okay, so. In the French Lieutenant's Woman, John Fowles plays with notions of destiny, identity, and free will. If I just started doing this at the weekend. It was my birthday, though. In the novel, Sarah is referred to as being like the Sphinx. Oh, Erin looked so hot on Saturday. Those shorts. Wish I'd done something. Think she wanted me to. Oh, come on, Dan. Concentrate. Right. Sarah is a riddle who is as dangerous as she is alluring. What if she did want me to kiss her, though? I've missed my chance.
Hey, Dan.
Oh.
Gav said you were in the library.
Erin.
I couldn't see you.
No, I wanted to find a quiet corner.
What are you doing?
Just an essay for English.
Good book?
It's okay. It's about a Victorian guy who becomes infatuated with this woman.
Ooh, so it's a romance then.
Kind of. Sorry, I suppose I ought to get on with this.
I was wondering, Dan, do you want to come over to mine?
Sorry?
After school. It just occurred to me, I'm always coming over to yours, and you've never actually been to my place.
Well, I need to hand this in tomorrow.
My mum won't be back until this evening. We'd have the place to ourselves.
Well, sure. Okay.
Cool. I'll see you later then.
Yeah.
Enjoy writing about your romance.
You're so funny. Place to ourselves, eh? Maybe I haven't blown it after all.
I don't know why anyone's surprised. I'm just amazed he only took the ring.
You seen my keys, Lillian? For the car.
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure what's worse, that he talked his poor father into giving them to him or that he tried to pass them off on Kylie.
Sorry, Lillian, I don't know what you're talking about.
Clive, he took Ivy's wedding and engagement rings. Haven't you been listening?
I'm in a rush.
I think it just goes to show if he's prepared to do that to his own family.
Look, I'm going to look upstairs.
Matt!
What?
Your keys, they're here, next to the bread bin.
Oh, right, thanks.
Apparently, at Ivy's funeral, he told Kylie that he was keeping the rings for her, tried to worm his way back into her affection.
Who's Kylie?
His daughter.
Oh, right.
Of course, she refused to take them, and when Susan found out, she was furious. Yeah. According to Alice, she told Clive not to come back to Ambridge again.
Really?
At least someone's got the courage to send Clive packing.
Look.
And his sister, of all people.
Yeah, as fascinated as I am by village gossip.
It's not gossip.
I need to get to the building site.
Wait, didn't you see? You're the only one who still wants anything to do with him.
Enjoy your day, Pushcat.
Matt!
Love you.
Oh.
Why would I want to do that? I told you, I just need the lockup for a couple of days. I'm paying for the whole month. Look, it's all money in your pocket. Just let me have it till the end of the week. What? No, because it ain't none of your business. Hello? Hello? Moron, what's his problem? Scrap's only going to be in there overnight. All right. So who else do I know with a lockup? Oh, hang on.
Hey, Matt, got a minute?
There you are.
Oh, Marv.
Come on, mate. We need you inside.
Yeah, in a sec.
You've had plenty of time for a fag. Let's crack on.
I said I'll be there. Boss.
Not now, Clive.
I need a quick word.
All right, Marvin, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hey, it won't take long.
I said I'm busy. So, where have we got to today?
Okay, Dan. Just be cool. This is what you want. Stay relaxed.
Don't sit there.
What?
Sit on the bed.
Really?
It's a lot more comfortable. Well, go on. Make room for me.
Sure. Sorry.
So?
Say something. I like your wallpaper.
Oh, hang on.
Wallpaper? What are you on about?
It's your dad. That's funny. He's just checking I'm still coming over to shadow him on Thursday.
Oh, right.
I'll text him back later. What were you saying?
Nothing. Just... Who are they in the photos?
Yeah. They're all taken at my last birthday. The two olds in the corner, that's my mum and stepdad. And those are my cousins.
Who? The two blokes who are hugging you?
Oh, no, that's Max and Harvey.
Who?
Harvey was my boyfriend then.
Oh, but he's got to be in his 20s.
And Max is next too. We're still really good mates though. He calls me his little sister.
Sister?
I know, but it's not like that. We should never have gone out.
Why? Age difference?
No. No, we're just better off as friends. I did like being driven around in his M3, though.
Oh, I bet.
When I pass my test, I'll be lucky to get an old Fiesta.
Anyway, that's all past history.
Yeah.
What chance have I got?
Your birthday was good too.
Hey, I suppose. Just a shame they wouldn't let us into Atlantis.
The canal club was fine.
Except everyone in there is underage.
Doesn't matter. I just wish it hadn't ended so soon.
Yeah.
Is she serious?
Mind if I warm my feet under your legs?
No.
Maybe she is then.
Look, I'm sorry about my mates. I know they're a bit Neanderthal.
What?
Well, the way they were going on about us. You know, saying how we should get together.
Oh.
Were they right?
You didn't mind, did you?
Why would I mind?
So they were then.
You're just too much of a gentleman.
That a yes?
Any other guy would have definitely tried it on.
Well, should I or not?
It's sweet.
Hey, get off.
Don't be embarrassed.
Stop prodding me. I'll tickle your feet.
No!
Go on, do it.
Don't, Daniel, stop it. Get off.
This must be good.
I'm really ticklish. No.
Now what?
Meanie. And all the girls at school said you were nice.
I can smell her skin.
They want to know what you're like.
Really?
So do I.
Oh, God. Should I just...
Well, are you going to kiss me or not?
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Come here.
How much longer do you reckon it's going to take?
Well...
Come on, come on.
We should have it all done by Friday.
Oh, for Pete's sake, stop yakking.
We've still got the two upstairs bathrooms to do and the roof. Need to get that stripped out before the tiles come off.
Oh, I know, but still.
What now?
Good job. No, it's impressive. Place is looking better already.
Wouldn't be too pleased about it.
I'll let you get on.
It's going to mess up our deal.
Keep up the good work.
Cheers.
Oi, Matt, over here.
What is it?
We have to talk. You need to slow things down.
I thought I told you.
Just listen, please. Look, I managed to get hold of a truck, but I still need a lockup.
So?
So I thought I'd have more time. I've got to find somewhere to stash the scrap after I listen.
Just shut it.
I can't offload
it. I said shut your mouth. Didn't I make myself clear? Whatever you need to do, just do it. I don't want to know.
Yeah, but...
And I certainly don't want anyone to see us talking.
Look, the thing is...
I heard about the little scam you pulled with your mum's rings, you know.
Hey?
If you can do that to your own dad, I'm sure you can do this.
No, I ain't got...
Until then, you don't speak to me, you don't call. I don't want to be reminded of your existence until the job's done. That understood?
This right? I'm not sure. Perhaps I'm supposed to...
Ow!
Oh, sorry, sorry.
No, it's okay. You just caught my hair.
It's all right. Close your eyes. Not sure if she's expecting me to... Whoa. Okay. Maybe she does. Great legs. Come on. Just go with it. Move your hands a bit higher. Okay. Maybe a bit more.
Dan!
Sorry. I thought that was what you...
You were leaning on me. Put your hand back.
Sorry.
Stop apologising.
Sorry.
Okay. So this could be it. It'll be fine.
What was that?
What?
Oh no, I think my mum's back.
I thought you said...
Quick, do your shirt back up! Oh, God, what's she doing home so early? Right, okay.
Do you want to go somewhere else?
What?
So we can...
Like where?
I don't know. We could drive somewhere.
No.
Right, okay.
I'm sorry, Dan, but now that she's back, I think it's probably best if we
no.
just...
No, I understand.
Pass me that brush.
Just as long as...
Was that okay?
Yeah, of course. It was lovely. It's just...
I know.
Come on, we better go and say hello.
Erin, hang on.
Oh. Okay?
Yeah.
Fine. Let's just go downstairs.
Hey, Clive?
Yeah?
How you getting on? Oh. Finished stripping out that last bathroom yet?
Oh, get in there. Just need to sort out the waste pipe.
Right.
Should only take another half an hour.
No, that's fine. Listen.
And then I suppose we can get cracking on the roof.
Sorry?
Well, ain't that the next job, replacing all the tiles and that?
It is, but we've got specialists in. Oh. They're meant to start today, actually, but they've been held up on another job. So that's us on the go slow for at least the next couple of days. There are a few bits and pieces we can push on with, but...
Oh, well, Nick, you're the gaffer. Just tell me what you want me to do.
Eh? No, there's certainly not enough that we'll need casual labour. Not until the new roof's on. I'm afraid this will have to be your last day for the moment, Clive.
What?
I'm sorry. I know Mr. Crawford asked if I could do you a favour, and I've done the best I could. Come over to the porter cabin when you're finished, and I'll give you your wages.
No, but hang on! Nick!
You could be joking. It's all sorted for tomorrow night. How am I going to know when the lead's off the roof? Right. Okay. Well, I can't not be here. Matt's just going to have to persuade him to keep me on the job. Oh, damn him. If he wants this to work...
No, it's all right, I'll get it.
No.
I said no.
Look, I'm here now. You answer your phone.
Oh, what did I say to him? Not now. Go away.
Oh, thank you very much.
Lillian, sorry, I'll take that.
Oh, all right.
It is for me, isn't it?
Yeah. What is it?
Oh, nothing. Just some kit for the office.
For the office?
Yeah.
But we don't need anything for the office. Have you bought me a present?
What?
Tiger.
No.
Is it for Christmas?
No, it's a webcam.
Webcam?
Yeah, for... video conferencing. Look, I'll take it upstairs.
But whenever do we do video conferencing? Oh, don't be silly, Matt. Tell me.
Just forget about it.
It's not going to spoil the surprise.
Come on, Puss. I know. Let's have a look at you. Gums are nice and pink. How are the sutures? Good. Not too much leakage. That should heal fine. Almost done.
Yep.
Is that her?
Hiya.
Erin, great to see you. I was wondering when you'd be here.
I know, I'm sorry, Alistair.
No.
I got held up leaving school.
Oh, don't worry, you're here now.
She is stunning.
So, who's this then?
Daphne.
Really? Hello, Daphne. You don't mind me stroking you, do you?
Oh.
Sorry, didn't mean to stroke you as well.
No, that's okay. I just needed to apply a fresh dressing. She was neutered this morning.
Shall I hold her?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
No. Did you get my last text?
Which one was that?
The one about maybe making this a regular thing. If it's going to be a problem...
No.
It's just I'm learning so much.
No, it should be fine. As long as school don't have an issue with it.
Well, if they do, I thought I could still come afterwards. Even if it's just for an hour.
All right. Great.
Oh, that'll make Shula happy.
So, have you seen Daniel today?
A bit.
Sounded as though the two of you had a good time the other night.
Hmm?
On Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's just clean this up.
He's very shy, isn't he?
Who, Daniel?
I mean, quiet. He's not had many girlfriends, has he?
Well, I guess not. Nothing serious, anyway. Why?
It's just, he's not like the other lads I know.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, no, of course. He's just really different.
Look, I know I'm obviously biased, but Daniel's a special boy. He's kind, he's thoughtful.
Oh, I know.
I'm really proud of him.
Yeah. So, what are we doing this afternoon?
Well, the surgery opens again in 10 minutes. We've got a full list of appointments.
Okay. Well, just tell me what you need me to do. I'm all yours.
Come in. Ah, Clive.
All right.
Good. I thought I was going to have to find you.
Yeah.
I'm about to head off.
Any chance of a word?
Your wages are here somewhere.
About that, Nick, I know what you said, but there's got to be something I can do.
Clive!
It don't matter what it is, even if it's just doing the donkey work for the roofers.
I told you, you can't work up there.
I can still carry stuff.
You're not trained. There are all sorts of regulations.
All right.
I'm sorry.
But what about other jobs?
No, look, I know it's tough out there.
Oh, come on, please.
Come on, just take your money.
Even if it's just for another couple of days.
I can't.
Call Matt. Yeah, call Mr. Crawford.
What?
Well, he's your boss, isn't he?
Clive!
If he tells you, you have to keep me on.
I'm not calling him.
But why not?
Because Mr. Crawford employs me not to waste his money. Now, I really do have to go. My little girl's waiting to be picked up from her ballet lesson.
Yeah,
thanks for your hard work. I've paid you for 4 full days.
So?
You certainly speeded things up. Just a shame it turned out we didn't need to rush.
Yeah.
Now, come on. I need to lock up. Best of luck in the future, eh?
All right. Take care now. Okay, then.
Was that the last one?
Yep. I just need to enter a few notes into the computer.
Do you normally prescribe steroids for arthritis?
Well, to be honest, I try not to. They're very effective at relieving pain, but not so great for the actual condition of the joint.
Right.
In a dog that age, though.
Sure.
Can I just... The mouse?
Oh, sorry.
Thanks. Now, where are we?
I used to have a King Charles like that. I loved him so much.
Prescription. Prednolucotropin.
We had to give him away when my parents split up, though. I was only 6.
Oh, right.
Mum and I had to move into a flat, and Dad's work meant he couldn't look after him. I think I was more upset about that than anything else.
That must have been tough.
Yeah, I guess.
Why is she telling me this? She's lovely, but this feels like too much.
I don't really remember that much. Dad was just there one day and then he was gone. And Mum was crying all the time.
Look, Erin, if you want to go and find Daniel, I expect Shula will have dinner ready soon.
Oh, it's all right, I'll stay.
It's only boring admin.
I need to know about the boring stuff too, though, don't I?
All right.
It's funny, I suppose I've always felt a bit like an adult. Even when I was little.
Maybe she just wants to talk.
I mean, Mum was such a mess. She'd be the one bringing boyfriends back and I'd disapprove. It was pretty horrible, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, getting up in the morning and finding a strange man in the bathroom.
Right. This isn't appropriate.
And then she met Rob and things started to get better.
I can't be her confidant. Well, these things tend to work out.
Although most of the time he's away on business. Normally it's still just me and Mum. And she says I'm too much like my real dad.
Right.
Not that I ever see him.
Well, I'm probably almost finished.
You know, you're a lot like Dan.
I'm sorry?
At least you've got similar eyes. They're the same gorgeous blue.
Okay. That's crossed a line. Erin.
They're what I first noticed about him.
Actually, you should know. Daniel isn't my natural son.
Oh.
I adopted him. He's Shula's by her first marriage. His father died before he was born.
Wow. Okay.
And as for our eyes, that's just a coincidence.
You know, actually, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so you've got the same eyes. But, I mean, apart from that...
I'd like to think maybe part of me's rubbed off on him.
No, I know, but you're so much more...
What?
That's so strange. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, Daniel doesn't really like to talk about it. In any case, I'm the only dad he's ever known.
He's lucky.
Come on. I think we're done here.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Let's get back over to the house.
Lillian, I'm just nipping out.
Matt?
Yeah, won't be long. See you later.
Wait, where are you going?
Be back in an hour. I'm just shooting over to Felpersham.
Felpersham?
Yeah, I want to see how the build's going.
What, you mean to Chamberlain Road?
Yeah.
But it's 6:00. I was just about to put the dinner on.
Well, keep it warm for me then, eh?
What are you up to? Is this to do with that parcel?
No, no, look, why don't you crack open the Beaujolais? I'll be back before you know it. Oh, now what? What the...
Evening.
Matt.
What are you doing here?
Oh, it's about that job.
You get him out of here.
Look, I'm sorry. I swear, I just need to talk to Matt for a minute.
You know you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you understand English or something?
I wouldn't be here if it weren't important.
Matt.
All right, Lillian, we can talk outside.
Are you going to get rid of him?
Yes.
Matt, I have had enough of this.
Okay, okay.
He goes now.
I'm dealing with it.
Look, I'm really sorry, but you wouldn't answer your phone.
Well, didn't I tell you something? You'd better have a damn good reason for turning up here. I'm off the job. They don't need me anymore. And I need to be there to know when the lead's off the roof. It ain't happening till next week, no?
Next week?
Yeah. Then just take what's there. I can't.
I don't get greedy, Clive.
But I've promised my contact a certain amount. Oh,
it's not my
boss.
Problem, is it?
I need this. The bloke what I'm borrowing the wagon off, he ain't happy I've messed him around.
Makes the two of us.
And I've already had to pay up front for a lock-up.
Well, you've got the money from those rings, haven't you?
I just need you to get me back on site.
No. Do you think I need this hassle? I've got to sort Lillian out now, and it's not just her who doesn't want you around here.
I made sure I won't see you.
Well, you'd better.
I can still do this.
Then do it. But if you cause me any more trouble, then that's it. Deal's off. It won't just be Lillian who's going to tell you where to go. All
but,
right.
But, hold on. You only have to make a call. What does he expect? Still wants the money, doesn't he? All right. Just stay focused. You can still do this. Just gonna have to be smart.
Hello? Bernie? Yeah, it's me. Listen, there's been a change of plan. No, and nothing wrong. We're just gonna need to hold off till next week.
I think he's going now.
Lillian?
He's talking to someone on the phone.
Come away from the window.
I've still got a good mind to call the police.
What?
Well, someone needs to report him.
Lillian, you can't. I mean, what for?
He needs permission.
He's leaving now?
Yes, and what if he comes back? Or goes on a rampage around the village?
He's not going to do that. I've handled it.
Yeah, well, that's what you keep saying.
I have.
And yet, there he still is, on our doorstep.
All right, all right.
I mean, how do you think that makes me feel?
He was just after some more work.
That's what he wanted, was it?
Yes. He's desperate.
That's when he said something about a job.
I know, exactly. And I told him there weren't anything.
Really?
Yes. Look, don't worry. He's not coming back.
Where are you going? Matt, don't walk away from me.
I have to go to Felpersham.
Now?
Yes, of course, now.
But what if he's still here?
Oh, Lillian.
I am serious, Matt. You might think you're honouring some sort of ex-convict's code.
Excuse me.
But if you leave me alone here...
Listen.
And I even see a shadow outside the
You're not going to do anything. I'm serious now, Lillian. Look, Pussycat, I understand what you're saying. But you have to let me deal with this in my own way. I wouldn't let anything happen to you. I promise, Pussycat, I've got it under control.
Ambridge Extra was written by Tim Stimpson, the producers were Sarah Conkey and Rosie Bolton, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn. The virtual world of Planet B comes to BBC Radio 4 Extra this week, bringing with it adventure and malfunctions galore. Let's plug ourselves in and find out more.
I'm James Robinson, and I'm the script editor on Planet B.
Planet B, where you can be whoever you want to be.
One of the things that's really great about the concept for the show is that each week you do get a different genre. So one week it's westerns, one week it's full-on sci-fi space operas. And that's one of the nice things about the best sci-fi concepts, I think, you know, the Doctor Who's and the Quantum Leaps, that you kind of get a different show each week.
School Days.
I know it.
It's a popular site. Look at the hits.
I helped design it. It began as a harmless role-play world, but got swamped with trolls, so they made bullying part of the game. The more you bully, the more successful you are.
I'm Jessica Drumgool and I'm the series producer on Planet B. Because each episode is set in a different world, and at the end of each episode, John and his partner, Medley, are propelled into another world, there is a separate story in each episode, and there's also a fairly clear understanding of what's happened thus far. So if you've missed an episode, you can catch up pretty quickly.
We need to find Leoba, Medley.
Yes, but we're going to have to take part while we're finding her. She might be here, but if we're thrown out of the game, we'll never know.
Planet B works perfectly on radio. It could evolve into a television drama, but The Seventh Dimension is the perfect slot for it.
I suppose if there are any reluctant listeners for sci-fi, then our hero is a reluctant hero within the sci-fi. But at each step through the journey, there's enough to kind of keep him entertained, and hopefully that will be kind of infectious and the listener will also kind of be pulled along in the same way.
Science fiction drama with Planet B tomorrow night at 6 and midnight in The Seventh Dimension.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now part two of the writer and broadcaster J.B. Priestley's 1940 wartime observations, this week describing an outing to Margate. Postscripts is read by Patrick Stewart.
It's a lovely day tomorrow. Tomorrow is a lovely day.
Sunday, 7th of July, 1940. Now I'll tell you the two most heartening and inspiring things I've seen this week. The first was a duck, and the second was a dig in the ribs. Now, in order to appreciate the duck, you have to have some idea of the whole setting of the scene. It was rather late the other night, and we were coming home to Highgate Village by way of Hampstead and the Spaniards Road, which run, you might say, on the roof of London. We had to pass the Whitestone Pond. Now, I like the Whitestone Pond. On fine afternoons, boys sail their toy boats on it. At night, this pond is like a little hand mirror that the vast, sprawling, yawning London still holds negligently, and you see the stars glimmering in it. Well, the other night was one of those mysterious nights we've had lately when there seems to be a pale light coming from nowhere, and the sky has a pure washed look. The dim lights of a few cars could be seen in the dusk round the pond, and some people, late as it was, were standing and staring. We stopped and heard a solicitor's quacking and a great deal of faint squeaking. Then we saw on the pond, like a tiny feathered flotilla, a duck accompanied by her minute ducklings, just squeaking specks of yellow fluff. We joined the fascinated spectators. We forgot the war, the imminence of invasion, the doubts about the French fleet, the melancholy antics of the Bordeaux government. Our eyes and ears and our imagination were caught and held by those triumphant little parcels of life. This duck hadn't hatched her brood here. She'd hatched them in some hidden corner, nobody knows where, and had then conveyed them, nobody knows how, to swim happily in the dusk on this summit of the city. She hadn't asked anybody's advice or permission. She'd gone to it, a triumphant little servant of that life, mysterious, fruitful, beautiful, which expresses itself as a man writes a poem, now in vast galaxies of flaming suns, now in a tiny brood of ducklings squeaking in the dusk. And if we forgot the war for a moment, afterwards we returned to think of it with a new courage, as if by that pond we'd been given a sign, for reduced to its very simplest but profoundest terms, this is a war between despair and hope. For Nazism is really the most violent expression of the despair of the modern world. It is at heart death worship. But there flows through all nature a tide of being, a creative energy that at every moment challenges and contradicts this death worship of despairing, crazy men. Even the mallard duck salutes us in the growing darkness and tells us to stand and fight and be of good courage. The second of these two most heartening and inspiring things of the week was, as I said, a dig in the ribs. It happened on Thursday afternoon. I went to the House of Commons to hear the Prime Minister make his statement on the French fleet. It was a most exciting and heartening afternoon, the deepening undercurrent of excitement during the question time that preceded the statement, the rapidly filling benches and galleries, the sombre opening and triumphant conclusion of the Premier's speech, the tumultuous reception of it by the whole standing, cheering House. What specially heartened and inspired me was a tiny thing that happened long before these fireworks were exploded. Mr. Churchill entered the House, not to make his statement, but to answer one or two questions.